welcome our wonderful Chinese friends, and we are also happy with all the other guests. And I believe it is a very special time that we are entering into. And the verse that comes to me often, and it's one of my favorite verses in the New Testament, is when Paul says, if the rejection of Israel has meant the reconciliation of the world, that the Gentiles got a chance to become children of God, the God of Israel. And then Paul says, if that was the result of their rejection, they rejected the Lord. What shall the result be of their receiving? If their, if their diminishing has been the riches of us Gentiles, that now we can say we are sons of God, we are forgiven by Jesus, the apostles have brought us the gospel. If that is the result of the diminishing of the Jews when they were scattered, what shall be the result of the fullness, the riches of Israel? And I feel we are on the very threshold of seeing the fullness of God's blessing come to Israel. And I remember an old pastor friend in America, and he said to me, Jan Willem, when the Lord showed me the importance of Israel, I lost nearly half of my congregation. They wanted to be Christians, but they didn't want this stuff with Israel. But I was faithful, and I built up a new congregation that did not only love the Lord, but loved his people. And the word that came to me when I began the Christian Embassy and the Feast of Tabernacles as the main initiator, the Lord spoke to me through the verse in Isaiah, comfort ye my people, not preachy, preachy at my people, but the Jews have received so little love. And so I was also amazed when today I read that Paul says, I have a continual heartache for my people, and I wish to be accursed. I'm willing to be accursed from Christ. And I said, wow, what a love he had for his own people that stoned him and rejected him. And he did not say, oh, now I have the right because God has sent me as an apostle for the Gentiles, so I don't need to be busy with the Jews. It was him who could have excused himself not to have a vision for his people, also because of his position as the apostle to the Gentiles. He said, well, that's not my ministry. And he was the one that saw the miracle that if all the Gentiles from all over the world have been grafted in, then of the tree of Israel, then God will return to the Jewish people and put them back into their own tree, and thus all Israel shall be saved. And what came to me when this pastor friend in America said, he said, when the Lord spoke to him about Israel, when Jesus came to the Jewish people and to Jerusalem, he said, you will see me no more. The kingdom that I wanted to offer to you will go to the Gentiles who will bear the fruit. But he also said, you will see me no more till the day comes that you will welcome me and say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. And it was like a revelation this month to me that the Lord said, there will not be a return of Jesus without Jerusalem welcoming him. He gave the key to Jerusalem. And that's why the Bible says, if I forget Jerusalem, it would be better that my tongue would cleave to my palate. For there is no hope that this world will ever receive the paradise state, that the people will sit in peace, the nations will not war anymore, all this wonderful messianic prophecies will only happen. And if the Lord gives the key to his people, he says, okay, you rejected me, but you will not see me again till or you welcome me. So the Lord is not a cheap king. He has to be welcomed. He's not saying, well, I'm going to come whether you like it or not. And this is not preached all over the world. They say Jesus can come anytime. And the Lord says, I gave the key to my people. But how will his people, who now in majority don't believe in Jesus, how will they welcome him? What will have to happen? And the only thing that will make them say welcome, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, is if they will understand that he loves them. And this man, he said, the pastor from America, and I've still got it in my Bible, when the Lord spoke to him, it was like a prophecy. The Lord said, 2,000 years ago, I left my people to go to the Gentiles with my love through the gospel. Now, as the Gentiles do the same to me as my people did 2,000 years ago, I'm leaving the Gentiles, the nations, and I will return to Israel where I will be glorified. And I knew when I saw this prophecy, this is from God. Because when I was preaching at the empty tomb of Jesus, the Lord showed me a verse. It says, when Israel comes back in Jeremiah, when Israel comes back, though I make a full end with all the nations where I scattered you, I will not make a full end of Israel. I feel more safe in Israel spiritually, because I know this time what this man prophesied, the Lord is returning to Israel. And the same, and this is important, the same happened happens today, like it happened 2,000 years ago. When the Lord says, not a stone shall be left upon the other. You will be destroyed by Rome, in other words. There was a remnant, Jewish apostles and the first Jewish believers, who could not save Israel from the judgment that the Lord, their Lord, had prophesied over them. So they didn't come together and says, let's pray against the Roman occupation, because we see that the Lord is doing powerful miracles. Look, Peter, his shadow is enough to heal the sick. We have 5,000 already born again in Jerusalem, it says in the Acts. So praise the Lord. The Lord is powerful. We can stand against the Romans. That's what the American and European Christians are doing. Let's just... And they accepted. They said, thank you, Lord, that so many miracles happen, but it doesn't nullify what you said, what is going to happen to our nation. And because they believed that they did not stay in Israel, they went out to the Gentiles. Peter went to Rome, Paul as well, and even maybe to Spain. Matthew went to Egypt. Thomas went to India, and they could not save their own, this is very important, they could not save their own nation from destruction, that the Lord had said, not a stone shall be left upon the other, and all of Jerusalem was destroyed, and even the temple. But they went to us, and I prophesy, when the time of this time it's not going to be destruction of Jerusalem, it's going to be destruction of New York, of Copenhagen, of Amsterdam, where the sex perversion is so strong. It is unbelievable, even with animals. And God is about to say, if you go the way of Sodom and Gomorrah, which is the way that many in the West are now going, and even other nations are being pulled into it, I am going not to destroy Jerusalem. And the Lord showed it to me from the Bible. When Babylon is destroyed, it says, all the cities of the world will be destroyed. I remember a preacher who was standing after fasting and praying for weeks in Copenhagen in front of a sex tent where you could have every sex you wanted with children or the, and nicely dressed girls, short. They said to him, you want to come in? And he said, no, I pray that God will forgive and make us to repent. And then seven lesbian women stood in front of him and says, oh, you're a nice preacher, huh? And we are going to do it right in front of your eyes, you little preacher. The anger and the rebellion against God is so that I feel God is saying, if you go on this way, and the Bible says that when God's vengeance will come on the nations, the people will be left will be rarer than gold on the earth. And then it says, all those that will be left of the nations, they will come every year to the Feast of Tabernacles. And I felt when I read that, that's a terrible verse, Lord. So maybe of the 16 million Dutchmen, maybe only 3 million will then understand, oh God, we should have loved it and comforted the Jews. And we were brought against the people of Israel, because the Bible says all the nations will fight against Israel. And when they do so, the Lord will go forth against those nations, the Bible says, and trample them out in the winepress of his wrath. So when people say, well, what's the ministry that you believe is now needed by all of us? It is so clear to me. When Jesus said, you're going to be destroyed, Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, but you rejected me, but you go to the Gentiles, for I came to bring you the kingdom and you refused. And now I will go to the Gentiles that will bear the fruits of it. So now it's the other way around. It's Gentiles says, my goodness, and I see it now. I've been in many nations in the world. And they say, it becomes, Jesus says, you will be hated by all men. The Dutch Christians are, you can be a Muslim, you can be a homosexual, you can be an atheist. That's all wonderful in the West. But don't be a Christian and tell that there's a righteous judge. So what does it do? The Christians who understand, it says, I have, just when it was finished with Israel, the remnant, the believing remnant came to us Gentiles and saved us millions over the 2000 years. Now, the Lord says, now it's not Jerusalem. It's Copenhagen, it's Amsterdam, in New York. I was in the flat, the apartment of David Wilkerson, a holy man of God. And I made a remark about the lighted up city with all the skyscrapers. And he said, when I look out of my window, I already see a cemetery. God's going to destroy this city. And rich men are coming in their car in the streets and look for little boys that they will pay for an evening with sex. It is so, and God sees it. God says, okay, I destroyed Jerusalem. Today there are cities in the world that are worse than Jerusalem. When he destroyed Jerusalem, they did not go for abortion. They did, the Jews did not go for lesbian marriages. They were less corrupt than most of the nations today. So if God did not spare the Jews in Jerusalem, you must be mad, totally blind, if you believe that it's not going to happen to us. But the Bible says the remnant came to us as a channel. You are a son of God. I'm a son of God, forgiven, eternal life. How rich you became, Paul says, through their diminishing. What will happen by their receiving? It will be life from the dead. And how is that going to happen? So I come back to the question, what will make Israel to say,
Welcome, Lord, come. We rejected you 2,000 years ago.
It is if we, and that's our ministry, if we say to all the remnants of purified believers in every nation, come now. You cannot save your nation from the destruction that is coming your way, but you can all come. 10 out of each nation will come and to Israel, not pray for Israel, come to Israel and take hold of a Jew and say, we heard that God is about to reveal himself to you, that God is with you, and we want to be with you. 10 out of each. When that happens, I see it already now, the way that many Israelis, even the prime minister, have accepted and received me is because I've done exactly what the Lord said. He calls me, you're part of us, part of our nation. And I am. My children went into the Israeli army. And I've done what the Bible says. Comfort ye, my people. I've gone, I've been one of these 10 from Holland, taking hold of a Jew and say, we are going to be with you. The best example in the Bible is Ruth. Ruth is the type of the end time church. There were two daughters. You had Ophra, who went, she also loved Naomi, and she also wept. But Naomi said, you will wait for me to have a husband again, and then 20 years for my boy to become your husband. There's no hope for you to be married. So go back to your nation. So Ophrah kissed and kissed. And in the end, she chose for a nice life with a family and hopefully with her husband in her original country of home. But Ruth, and this is an old woman she served. It was not just Israel is my people. She served this old woman that never could fulfill her dream to be married. And why don't you go the way with Ophrah? You will have a family. Don't stay with me. I am Mara, she said. I'm sorry. That's the story of Israel. I've lost my husband. I've lost my sons. I've nothing. What do you want with me? And the Bible says, comfort ye, my people, for they have double suffered. Ruth is the symbol of Israel that have so suffered that even Naomi calls herself, not Naomi, but call me Mara. I'm bitter. I'm full of bitterness. And everything has gone wrong in my life. And Ruth says, no, I'm going to believe in you. And this is the revelation of God that you and I can have. And I know my wonderful darling Ellen was years without being married. And she did exactly what Ruth did. She said, Lord, I'm not going to think of, I want to be married again, but I want to serve Israel. And she wept 7 days to do something for Israel. Paul says, I would be willing to be accursed from Christ for my people. So it's a miracle if that happens. But I know I have the Bible with me. If it is true that their rejection has caused the reconciliation of the world, what shall the receiving of Israel, the fullness of Israel be, but life from the dead? So you're in the best ministry ever. Because through Israel, as Jesus said, salvation will come from the Jews. They have the key to bring him back. I will not come back to this earth and to this city till you welcome me and say Baruch Haba B'Shem Adonai. So Ruth said, no, I'm going to stick with you. And it's amazing. I only saw this maybe 2 years ago, that the word, and she clamped herself, she fastened herself, she clamped herself fast with Naomi. That word in Hebrew is the same as when the Bible says, as the Bible says, 10 out of each nation will take hold of a Jew. It means stronger than just holding. It means identification. Your people is my people, and your God is my God. We are grafted in to the tree of Israel, not in a new religion called Christianity. When, as Gentiles, we accept the rabbi of Messiah and Messiah Jesus, we become Jews. The Bible says not he is a Jew that has been circumcised outwardly, but he is a Jew that received the Holy Spirit circumcision. How many congregations are there in the world where the pastor says, you blessed Jews, you've been grafted in, and what Paul says to the Gentiles, you are the seed of Abraham. I never feel, oh, I'm only a Gentile believer, but the Jews are God's people. I says, I cannot come higher. Through the acceptance of Jesus, I am the eternal son, because I've received eternal life. I'm the eternal son of the God of Israel. So I never need to put a little kippah on. I cannot come higher. I have been many times as the prime minister of Israel, but I never go to him as a dear Christian that prays for the peace of Jerusalem. I go into his office. He is only the prime minister of Israel, although I love him much. I come in as the eternal son of his God. Look what Paul says. Look what love the Father has given you, that you should be called. Not charismatics, not evangelicals, not Catholics or Orthodox or Protestants. The devil is delighted that we don't call ourselves what God calls us. Behold what love the Father has given you, that you should be called the sons of God. I preached 7 years in the empty tomb in Jerusalem, the garden tomb. I saw Christians from every nation and every denomination. Hardly any, when I asked them, who are you? I'm four square a Christian. And you? I'm a biblical Baptist. And you? I'm a Catholic. Hardly anyone said what the Bible calls you. You are the son and the daughter of God. So I believe that if you believe that, and 10 of such sons and daughters of God come to Israel, not to preach to them, but to comfort them, to say, we are with you. Your nation is my nation, and your God is my God. And the God of Israel is my Father. And the people of Israel, I have made my people. And the amazing thing is, I don't know if Ophrah ever got married. Nobody talks about Ophrah anymore. She went and had her own life. My son heard the preacher preach in the Baptist church here in Jerusalem, and he says many Christians want to live the victorious life, the victorious Christian life. And the preacher, Lance Lambert, said, the Bible, I thought, was wonderful. If you want to live the victorious Christian life, you have to know how to die, not how to live. Because the Lord says, if you follow me and do not hate yourself, and you're willing to take up the cross daily, you cannot be my disciple. So if you want to be victorious Christian, you have to die to yourself. And my son sat beside me in the car. He said, Papa, I believe God wants me to go into the Israeli army. And he was a Christian believer. And he became a tank commander. And the Israeli prime minister said, you, young man, came to be with us. You make your name, our nation, your nation. You allowed both your children to serve in the Israeli army. Now, many people who see this message may not say immediately, I'm going to come to Israel, but they're welcome. Because the Bible says, 10 out of each nation, the remnant, like the remnant of the Jews who did accept the Lord, came to us. Now the remnant of the nations will come to Israel. And the Lord says to what we call modern Israel, I will make you jealous by a nation that was not my nation. We come as the Ephraimites of God to bless Israel, to love them, which is what I've done all these years. And has slowly opened the door of many Jews, says, if he looks like this, if he is so loving like you, we want that person to come. We are the key to bring them to 10 out of each nation, to that moment where the Bible says, I will pour out my spirit of grace and supplication upon my people, the Jews, and they will see him whom they fear and weep and come like Paul to become the most unbelievable instrument of life from the dead to this whole planet Earth. You are being called to comfort the Jewish people. And the wonderful thing is, he says, but you know, my sister is married and I don't know what will happen to me. If you give up your own desire, which Ophrah didn't, she went back and hoped for a family. If you do like Ruth, he says, what this old woman can give me? But through that old woman, she served the purpose of God. And what happened? She got married. Boaz was waiting for her. She didn't look for marriage and she was married. I don't know what happened to Ophrah. And she married a Jewish man. She married a Jewish man. And the heavens went open. Why? She became instrument to bring the Messiah back. And it says in Ruth, and when Ruth came with Naomi, she came to Bethlehem at the time of the barley harvest. And she became a great-grandmother of the Messiah. Those, and I know what I'm saying, those Christians, the seed of Abraham, sons and daughters of God, that are going to do what Ruth did, clamped herself to Naomi, says, your God is my God, and Israel is my people. I don't want my children to serve in a foreign country, even my own country. God tells you, Israel is your final destiny, your country, for you've been grafted in. And at the end, Ruth got her husband. The Lord says, if you try to save your life, I know even while I speak now, you will lose it. But if you lose it, you're willing to lose it. For Christ's sake, you will gain it. She was willing to say yes to an old woman, and through that old woman, to the Jewish people. And at the end, she did not just get married. She became part of the genealogy of the ancestors that brought the Messiah. We, in this place, I know it, with the 10 coming from each nation, will be channels to see the second coming of the Lord. May you be like Ruth and find, if God wants, your husband also. God bless. I pray you for the revelation of your Holy Spirit and the passion that I'm so awed by and spoken to when I read Paul saying that he is willing to be accursed, that he has a continual heartache for his people, the Jews. And because he had that love, he was able to see their future. that all Israel will be saved, and the wind of your Spirit will come upon them as a double portion, and we know it will happen during the Feast of Tabernacles. Bring all the people who see and hear this message to be willing to save us, to come to Israel, to be maybe not immediately part of this nation, but to be part of that movement, comfort ye, my people, that will see the Jewish people come to welcome the only one that can change this world to paradise again.
Father, we praise you and we thank you. We thank you. Lord, we are just stretching out to you because it is during the Feast of Tabernacles that Jesus said, the first day of the feast, if any man thirst, let him come to me. And Lord, we thirst. We pray for the outpouring of the double portion of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you will visit us like you visited us at Pentecost. Father, we come to you and you said we shall do greater works than you have done, your Son. We shall do greater works. So Lord, here we are. We are poor. We are so poor. We need more of you. And we welcome your Holy Spirit and say, God, please visit us. Do it again. Rain upon us and rain upon the body of Christ, our friends in the nation,
amen.
All those who stand with Israel, who've come year after year amen. To bless amen. Jerusalem amen. And the Jewish people. Amen. Father, let the double portion of your Spirit
amen.
Fall upon all the sons and daughters, the true Israelites of God. We pray in Jesus' name that we shall be your amen. Instrument to bring love and your coming preparation to this nation. In Jesus' name. Amen.
And we say to everyone that is watching, we are so happy with people from Korea, from China, from America, from Israel, that you are welcome to come to the next year's feast. We believe there will be hundreds, if not thousands, from all the nations, it will be the beginning of the 10 from each nation that will come with that same love that was beating in Paul to Israel to do what God told us all. Comfort ye, my people. To this bitter, that people that have received so much suffering, it is exactly that is the reason why God says, just as Naomi suffered so much and called herself bitter, the Jewish people have suffered 2,000 years, unbelievable, sometimes by the hands or many times of Christians. And the Lord says, comfort ye, you. Comfort ye two times, for they have suffered double. That's the reason why God wants you to show the real faith of the Lord to them. Come to the feast next year.
This video is made possible by the partners and supporters of ICZC Ministry.